time, you are bound to see the, some sort of commercial that talks about heart, cardiovascular. It's important to take care of the heart because it is the, one of the most vital organs that we have in our bodies. But what about your spiritual heart? What about your spiritual heart? I've seen numerous people who vigorously take care of their physical bodies, but yet they don't take care of their spiritual heart. And I know one man, and on a bad day, I mean literally on a bad day, he can bench press 300 pounds. I cannot fathom anybody can lift 300 pounds, let alone 100 pounds for me. This guy has a massive, massive bicep that is thicker than my thigh. But yet, his spiritual heart is next to pathetic. He claimed that he is a Christian, but he doesn't know anything about it. So, let me ask you this. This morning, Jesus is going to speak to us about our spiritual heart. Instead of turning your deaf ear to him, why not listen to him? Why not be attentive to him? And it's easy for us to tune our heart from the to the, this kinds of message and saying, this is not for me. This is for you, for all of us. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are asking your Holy Spirit be upon us. Anoint your word and anoint all of us to hear your word. Your words that let him, let who has a ear, let him hear the word of God. And you speak to our heart. And let our spiritual heart be enriched with your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in the book of Mark. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, underline parables, please, and said to them in his teaching. At this point, Mark is introducing a new word, parable. Jesus explained God's truth not by giving lecture in theology, but he is painting the picture and teaching us with this word, a parable. It's a story, but there is more to it. English word, the parable, comes from two Greek words, para and bello. It means to make an exact translation is to cast along the side. Two words is para, means alongside, we get the word parallel line, and bellow, to cast or to throw. So in other words, the parable is the story that goes along the side of the sermons or the teaching that he's trying to do. It's more than the earthly story with the heavenly meaning. And it's not the illustration I often use to explain to you about the story I'm going to teach. True parable gets listeners to deeply motivate and compel them to listen and decide. And about the God's truth, of course. And this is so penetrating, so personal, that by the time this Pharisees heard several of the Jesus' parable, they decided they are willing to kill this man, Jesus Christ. Because it's penetrating. Parable begins with innocently as a picture and explains and draws a picture to the people and gives attention to the people. But when we study this picture carefully, it becomes a mirror and end up we are looking at ourselves. While we study, looking at this mirror intensively by faith, and that mirror turns into a window that we can see the God, truth, and God himself. Depends on how we respond to this God's window, God will reveal more truth to us. If we choose not to respond to us, that parable become nothing more than a picture. But if we choose to respond to Him better and more, then He will give us another window, so that we may understand His truth. We're going to do the leapfrogging back and forth, because Jesus does not leave the room for anyone to come up with any other imagination other than His own explanation, especially for this parable of sower and the soil. So we will skip back and forth. And there's four kinds of heart, Jesus speaking to us, and four kinds of way to respond. Number one is hard heart. So we'll start at verse 3 of chapter 4. Listen, behold, sower went out to sow. It happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the bird of the air, underline bird of the air, please, and came and devoured it. Skedaddle down to the verse 14, please. And now Jesus is explaining to us. The source of the word, so in other words, the seed is the word here. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear Satan, underline Satan again, Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. In other words, the soil is hard, and the seed is the word, and the bird of the air is Satan, the one who comes and takes away the seed. So the seed, soil become the, for this case, hard heart. It's the one kind of soil that many people walk around. So it's a trampled down, it's hard soil, kind of like Arizona soil. What do I mean? When the rain comes down, in our side of the country, we don't have usually the wash isn't empty, right? It's a dry bed. But when the rain comes, guess what happened? That wash is filled with water. The reason is because soil is so hard. So somehow we have a hard soil. Same thing. Because so many people trampled on this particular hard soil or hard heart. The reason is because so many people, so many influences affect that person's heart. They listen to this other worldly things instead of listening to the God's truth. Are you with me so far? So they are not listening, they are not giving the room for any word of God to come into their heart. Let me put it this way. Some of you might fall into this category. Some of you may have a hard heart. You came here to church for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe God called you to. And you hear the word of God presented to you. But you may walk out the door without being changed by the word of God. Forget about being changed by my word. My word doesn't mean a thing. But word of God means everything. When you don't respond to the word of God, your heart is not changed. That means you have a hard heart. There will be a time at the end of this tribulation. Tribulation is yet to come. 7 years, horrible time is yet to come. At the end of a 7-year tribulation, you have to decide. At the great throne, you don't decide. As a matter of fact, God will decide your future. At the great throne judgment, great white throne judgment, you cannot say that you've never heard the gospel message, because you will hear gospel message today before you walk out the door. If you reject that, you cannot blame anyone. Let's look at another type of heart. This one is shallow heart. Verse 5. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth and immediately sprang up because it had no earth, no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Let's go down to verse 16. Now Jesus is explaining again. This likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately received with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. Underline that, please. They have no root in themselves. So endured only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or the persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Some people are like a ground that on the rocky area and with covered with a little thin layer of topsoil. When the seed landed on the top of that topsoil, it rooted, but a very short distance. It's a very shallow area. The leaves comes out, it springs up there with excitement. Same thing with this kind of people. Shallow heart, when they receive the word and they get excited and they go from the sizzle to fizzle at no time. Some professing Christians, they don't have a root in themselves, as we just read. Their root is more like a root in somebody else, a relative, a mother, or a pastor, or whoever is someone close to them. They depend on them. And because it's easy for the fallen human nature to counterfeit the religious feeling, and they think that somehow they have this spiritual security net. Somehow they think that they are saved. Somehow they think that they are spiritual. Again, some of you might fall into this category. Since I don't know all of you intimately, you might be in this category. You may say you're a Christian, but in deep down, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have a root in somebody else. Just because you are born in America, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you came to church a few times, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. Unless you are born again, that means born from above. Unless you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you are not born again Christian. That means if you are not born again Christian, you don't go to heaven. That's the gospel message as is. Only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And some of you may say, that's not what I've learned from the church. Well, read the book. I don't care what your church says. Read the book, the Bible. That's what it says. And these people, somehow they think that God, since they come to church, God is obligated to do something good. God is not obligated to do anything to anyone. As a matter of fact, we owe everything to God, including the lives, the breath we take. We owe him everything. Next kind of type of heart would be crowded heart. Verse 7. Some seed fell among the thorns, and thorn grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crops. And let's go down to verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word and care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desires for other things entering in and choke the word and it becomes the unfruitful. Crowded heart is kinds of people with a lot of things in their mind. Lust for the things or the desire for the rich or the worldly care. Because they have so many other things, even though they have the Word of God in their heart, this Word of God cannot really expand in their heart and do anything good in their heart. This person wants to walk in the worldly way as well as a godly way. Folks, you cannot do both. Either you're for God, you're against God. You cannot do both. To be honest with you, I know many Christians who are doing this kind of thing. Somehow they think that, well, I'm a born-again Christian because I gave my heart to Christ. But yet, they'd rather live in the world. Folks, you can try it, but you'll be miserable. You're not pleasing God and you're not pleasing yourself. You have too much God's word in your heart to be happy in the world, and you have too much world in your heart to be happy in God. You have to make up your mind. Another same category of people will have a fear all the time. And they try to concoct some sort of scheme or some way, if I may say it differently, to come up with something to solve the problem. So they think about it throughout the night, toss and turn, and they never have a peace in their heart that passes all men's understanding. What's the reason why the Christian, truly born-again Christian, don't have a peace in their heart? I say one reason, because they do not have the word in their heart. This seed, good seed in their heart. They have so many other things in their heart that there's no room for the word to grow in their heart. If they said, I believe in God, then, and I read the Bible, and I pray to God every day. If I can really ask you, how many times do you read the Bible? Oh, once in a while, when I'm really in bad situation. And if I may ask, how many times do you pray to God when I'm in tight corner? We are supposed to have this word, seed, and daily bread every day. And we have to pray to our Lord without ceasing. So if you come to Him with, because He's 911 rescue emergency personnel, well, dial the number with a prayer line and ask God something to help you. Well, that's nothing more than good luck charm, isn't it? Does God want to be a good luck charm or rabbit foot to you? He wants to be more than that. He wants to be Lord of your life. So stop using this book as some sort of good luck charm. Stop using the Bible prayer as a good luck charm. But instead of that, come to Him with a diligent heart. Seek Him through the Word and seek Him through prayer. If you do that every day, I guarantee your heart's going to be changed. It's not going to be crowded heart anymore, but it's going to be fertile heart that we are going to know. We're going to study here right now. Let's go to verse 8. Fruitful heart. But other seed fell on the good ground and yielded a crop and sprung up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's go down to verse 20. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. These are the people who hear the word of God with a thankfulness in their heart and with a gladness in their heart. And they get into the word, they memorize the verses. And you might say, what's the big deal about memorizing the Bible verses? When we memorize the Bible verses, when the time is right, Holy Spirit will remind us with that verse and encourage us and give us guidance. And some of you may say, well, I never hear from God. When was the last time you tried to memorize the Bible verses into your heart? And when was the last time you were seeking God through the word of the Bible? It is no wonder why you don't hear the word, God's voice. God will not speak to you. This is God. Listen carefully. He will not do that to you. But He will speak to you through this word. It may not be clear black and white things that you wouldn't know. Or it's like you reading the book. But generally, He will guide you through the word of God. You can love it, you can categorize, you can study, you can memorize it, but if you don't apply this word into your heart, you are not going to have a fertile heart, fruitful heart. Each of the fruitless heart that we mentioned, first one is hard heart, second one is shallow heart, third one is crowded heart, has enemies. First, the hard heart has an enemy, the devil himself, taking the word out of your heart. Second one is the shallow heart. It's the flesh is the enemy. It counterfeits the religious feeling, thinking that, wow, I'm spiritually secure. No, you're not. You just feel that way. It's nothing more than emotion. Third, crowded heart is the things of the world and smother the growth and prevent the harvest. You have too many things that you're paying attention other than the Word of God. Notice that the world, the devil himself, and flesh, and the things of the world, they are the enemies. If we stumble, any Christian, born-again Christian stumble, they stumble in one of these three categories. By now, you might wonder if these three category people with a hard heart, shallow heart, and crowded heart, are they born again? You know what? It's none of my business. It's not my place to judge their salvation. But the point is not why do you have that kind of heart. If you do, if you have that kind of heart, why do you have that kind of heart? Why not fruitful heart? Why not fertile heart? God wants you the best. God wants you to have the best things in, He can provide. We are the one who is rejecting, saying no to God because we have one of those things in our heart. When we evaluate ourselves, please don't give ourselves an extra point. Let God evaluate. Let God tell you where we are. So when you go home, set a time aside, be alone with God. Turn off the TV, put away the newspaper, put away the magazine. Spend about 20 to 30 minutes and seek God and ask Him, what is my heart? What is my spiritual heart like? Is hardened heart, shallow heart, crowded heart, or fruitful heart? Let's continue in verse 9. This pretty much sums it up, everything for us. He said to them, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, we have to find out what's the purpose of a parable. It talks about it in verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to you know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To those who are outside, all things comes in parables. So that seeing they may see, not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Jesus used parables to do both things. Number one, to hide the truth. And number two, to reveal the truth. For the careless listener, this truth has been hidden. To them, it's nothing more than story. But to those who are sincere in their heart, to the sincere listener, the truth is revealed. Just like now. Some of you is getting this. Some of you are getting the meaning of this parable. Some of you are getting this meaning of this study. And some of you are sitting there. Not getting it. Because you choose not to listen. You choose not to comprehend. Forget about the broken English. Because there are other people who understand exactly. If you choose to listen, God will speak to you right now. Let's continue in verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under the basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. I'm sorry. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, the more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. In this parable, the Lord is using common object lamp. The lamp is like that. It's a little clay pot with a, they have a wick and the oil inside. The oil has to be planted to be used again. You, when was the last time you have used that kind of lamp? Or probably not, some of you may never used it. Or just a regular light like this. If you have a light like this, would you put it under the bed? Or would you cover it? What's the purpose of light? Light is there to give us light, right? So we can see. If we cover it, that light is no use. What does it mean? Again, the light is the word we receive, the life we revealed to other people. When we hear the word of God, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to spread that word to other people. Let me put it this way. If I know how to cure cancer, leukemia, for example, if I hold it in my briefcase and I say, I'm not going to give it to anyone else, is that the right thing to do? I have moral responsibility to share with other people so those who have a leukemia can be cured. Same thing. When we receive the word of God from God, we have an obligation to spread that good news to other people. Jesus said we need to... We are the light and we are the salt in the world. If we don't become if we are not light, then what are we good for? If we are not salt in this world, what are we good for? Jesus said that we should be trampled. Let's continue in verse 26. Now he's going to make a parable of the growing seed. And he said that the kingdom of God is as if the man should scatter the seed on the ground. And it should slip by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout out and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself. And first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripened, immediately he put in the sickle, and because harvest has come. This is a rather unusual parable than only Mark is recorded. And this takes a good deal of the, let me put it this way. It takes a good deal of faith and patience to be a farmer. I'm not one of them. I don't know much about growing plants, so I just dump the Miracle-Gro. And somehow I think it will grow. Actually, it does. That's why I guess they call it Miracle-Gro. And just give a water. One time I watered a tree too much, the tree started falling sideways. So you know what kinds of thumb I have. I don't have a green thumb, I have a black thumb. This shows the word of God is working invisibly in us. And the word of God will not come back in void, the word Isaiah says. We don't know how the word of God works. As I prepared the study last night and then Friday, I don't know how it's going to affect you. But that is not my concern. My concern is I'm supposed to deliver the way God intended. Now the Holy Spirit is going to work in your heart. If you say yes to the Holy Spirit, he will do wonders in your heart. If you say no to him, as I said before, you will walk out through that door with a hardened heart, more calloused heart. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown to the ground, is smaller than all the seed of the earth, but when it's sown, it grows up and it becomes greater than all the herbs, and it shoots out large branches so that the bird of the air, underline bird of the air again, please, may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without the parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. This parable gave the disciple warning and encouragement. What kind of warning? Let's start with encouragement. Encouragement is, at the beginning, they had a small band of group. There was only 12 people, 12 disciples. And that 12 disciples spread the word. And there, right before that Jesus ascended to heaven, there were 500 believers. And there 500 believers and the 12 disciples ministered to the people. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 converts in one day. And that 3,000 people went around the world. And now you are one of them. At the end of the tribulation, those who are born in Christian, the saints, will worship God throughout their entire universe. Warning. I actually underlined the birds. As Christianity group become big and become all over the world, the world religion, now there is a problem. Satan's and his demonic forces come in the ranks of Christianity. How many denominations are run within the Christianity? Many. I cannot even count. There's two churches in Ohio. Some of the doctrines I do not agree, but they are good born-again Christian people. And they are being accused by 13 different churches around that particular city. I think it's Columbus, Ohio. And they are contacting the IRS. The IRS should revoke the nonprofit organization status because these two churches are supporting the particular politicians. That's their accusation. The reason why they are supporting this particular politician is because they support pro-life. They are standing against abortion. I looked at the list of those 13 churches. The first one was American Baptist Church. Some of you guys know American Baptist. If you don't know American Baptist, they are extreme liberal left-wing Christians. I wouldn't call them Christian. They have a name of Christian, but they are not Christian. And they are united with the Unitarians. You know what the Unitarians are? They're in the la-la land people. They're coming from Twilight Zone. Anything is good. They think that God is in everywhere. Everything. If they call themselves, those 12 other churches, if they call themselves a Christian, what they got to do with the Unitarians? These are the people whom we are dealing with. They are the ones, are the birds of the air landing on the branch. It started with a small seed, mustard seed. It's not the smallest seed in the world, but it was the smallest seed the Jewish people put in the garden. So that's why Jesus said the smallest. And from that smallest seed, and the mustard tree is become a big one, and the bird come in and resting in the shade. Christianity started with a small band of people. Now it's religion around the world. Still, it's the biggest religion around the world. But within the rank, there's a lot of satanic involvement. Because why? Remember the three hearts, hardened heart, shallow heart, crowded heart. The enemies, devil, things of the world, and for our selfish desire. We invite them. Nobody invite them. We invite them. Because we choose not to listen to God's word. We choose not to obey God's word. I've never seen anyone who is a mature Christian who does not study the Word of God every day and pray every day and follow God every day and serve Him every day. If you don't serve Him, if you don't pray to Him, if you don't read the Bible every day, you cannot call yourself a mature Christian. You might say, that's not true. Well, show me your maturity. If you're really mature, you will do those things because you have a hunger and desire for the Word. You cannot stay away from God every day without prayer, without reading the Word, without serving Him. You cannot call yourself as a mature Christian. Let's make the applications. Number one, don't give yourself extra points when you are examining in your heart, let God evaluate. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalms 139, verse 23, please. This is the way that we should ask God to evaluate our heart. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Second application, we need to keep our heart as fertile soil to receive God's word daily with gladness and willingness so that we may grow in Him and serve Him. Third application, if we have a truth of God, we have a solemn responsibility to spread the truth in whatever way God gives us the opportunity. As God lead. Oh, how many times I tried to kick the door down with my own strength at the beginning. It didn't work. Now I wait upon God. When God opens the door, it's great. Do I get the convert every time? No. But I plant a seed. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you, bow your head, close your eyes. While your head's bowed, your eyes closed, think about it. What is your heart like? Is it hard heart that rejects the Word of God? Is it shallow heart? You get excited about this service and walk out the door and you cannot even remember what I said? Or is it crowded house? You are so fearful for the things happening around you that you cannot even get hold of the Word of God in your heart? Or, I hope that's the case, is your heart fruitful? Because you received the Word of God with gladness and willingness. Examine your heart. Let God speak to you. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as I said before, you are not born again Christian, that means you don't go to heaven. It will be my privilege and honor to introduce Jesus to you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is my honest desire that your word penetrate our heart and make it personal so that we may, all of us may be fruitful heart, have a fruitful heart and fertile heart to receive your word with gladness and an excitement and seek your face every day and follow you with all of our heart and mind and soul. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, we will sing one more song. If you need a prayer, please come see me or Pastor Jack or our worship leader. And remember, Jesus is coming back soon. So keep your knees down, heads up. God bless you.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all shall be added. Seek first the kingdom.